Let's discuss today some. Today it's Rosh Chodesh Sivan. We have to now get into the swing of things for Shavuos. Shavuos coming up. So let's review some halacha, some minhag, the Seder Hayoim. Let's go through a couple of. Yeah.
Is there a special mitzvah of Yayin Shavuos?
Ein simcha ella bebosar v'yayin. That is correct. That is correct. So there is an inyan that there definitely is an inyan to drink wine on Yom Tov.
Every Yom Tov.
Not on Shabbos. As far as I know, Shabbos not.
Can I get away with grape juice?
Not necessarily. The yayin has to be alcoholic for there to be simcha.
Mixed can be mixed.
Has to be at least, I think Rabbi Belsky said at least 2.5%. 2.5% alcohol in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of simcha of yayin. There is no question about it. There's a mitzvah of basar v'yayin, meat. On Shabbos, there's no din. Shabbos, there's no halach of having simcha on Shabbos. Shabbos is called an oineg, enjoyment. Oineg is not the same thing as simcha. Oineg does not demand, require yayin. Oineg does not require meat. If you want to have meat, it's fine. You could have meat. You could have yayin, but it's not an absolute requirement. Yom Tov is on a different level. Yom Tov, it says, V'samachta b'chagecha, an eid of simcha, and Chazal say that V'zman hazeh ain't simcha ella b'bosar v'yayin. So yes, but of course, if it's not going to go sit well with you, drink alcohol, your doctor's not going to be very pleased, then I would not advise you to do so. Some say that fish is called basar. In halacha, fish has the status of basar. That's why the minig by a bris, you're really supposed to have basar.
Yes.
It's very rare among Ashkenazim to have basar by a bris for various reasons. Number one, it's too expensive. Okay, that's number one. To go, so how much can you shell out already? How much money do you have ready to make a lavish bris mila of basar? And number two, not everyone wants to eat meat in the morning. It's not so healthy to eat meat in the morning. So it's very rare by Ashkenazim to have basar at a bris. Sfaradim have basar. They're more into this. Sfaradim do have basar. But Sfaradim, they what?
They do par. No, they do par also, no meat.
They do par, okay, but so then the question is, how then are we in violation of the halacha? And how could it be that it says in Shulchan Aruch he's supposed to have basa by a bris sudas bris mila? So the leniency is that fish, dogim, is also bidyevet called basa.
Chicken.
Right, fish.
About chicken also?
Chicken is not necessarily called basa. Fowl is not necessarily called basa.
No?
In halacha, we have to wait 6 hours. Midrabanan, not midaraisa. You have to wait 6 hours, chicken, fowl, poultry, but it's not necessarily in halacha called basar. Could be that fish.
Worse than fish?
It could be, yeah, could be worse than fish. It could be fish has more of a din basar than poultry. Wow. Even though you don't wait 6 hours. You don't wait 6 hours for fish.
Finish.
Before you eat milk, maybe I'm wrong. As far as I know, that dogim is something that is significant. It's very similar.
That you put cream cheese with the fish. The Sephardim, they don't do this. If it is fish,
you're not supposed
meat,
to boss
right?
You
can't do this.
There is such a minute. There is a minute sakana. It's not because of the Torah doesn't say anywhere.
No,
you're not allowed to eat
fish. Is meat.
It's not fish. Is not basar. It's a leniency that it's a substitute. It can be considered a substitute for basar. Poultry, maybe also. We do that. I mean, we look at it like that. Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference because Shabbos, there's no requirement to have basar on Shabbos. There is no requirement to eat basar on Shabbos. There's no simcha on Shabbos. Shabbos is v'korosa la-shabbos oneg. Oneg means an enjoyment. What do you enjoy eating? You enjoy eating poultry? Eat poultry. You enjoy eating fish. You like meat. You don't have to eat meat. You can have a part of a meal. There's no requirement to have on Shabbos to have fleshix, Shabbos Suda. There's no requirement. The karasa, la shah, the mukhik to have a Suda. You have to have a suda on Shabbos. You have to have two meals for sure, and shalashudas Shabbos as well. Also, that's also a chiyuv. Not the same level, but there's also a chiyuv. But that in your meals that you eat, that you mechuyev to have basar or even to have poultry. No, the korasa la Shabbos oinik. Yom Tov is a different status. V'somachta bechagecha ein simcha ela bibasar v'yayin. Shabbos also, there's no requirement to have yayin. Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah to have yayin. Again, you have to be careful. Just because there's a mitzvah to have yayin does not mean that you should get sick and get carried away and become addicted and run into all those issues. Okay, that's another issue.
But that's what Yismael Uman Chtal Shomer Shabbat.
We have to wrap up. We have very short days. We're starting out very late, so let's go with some hugging. Okay, I want to run through the inyanim of just to get into the flavor of Shavuos. Let's run through some halacha, some minog for Shavuos. First thing is, we should all be aware that the Yom Tov of Shavuos is very unique in that there are many from all of the chagim. There is no chag that has more names than in the phone book. It takes up a whole page. All the different titles for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We call it Shavuos because it says in the Torah, Chag HaShavuos Ta'aseh Loch. You shall make for yourself the festival of weeks. Okay? It's Shavuos, not Shivuos. Shah with a comma, Shah means weeks, a week, a Shavua. A Shva means an oath. It's not the festival of oaths. It's the festival of weeks. It's Chag Shavuos. It's also called in the Torah the Chag HaKotzir, the festival of the harvest. Okay, that's in Shemais. In Shemais, Perich of Gimel, Chag HaKotzir. It's also called, when you Chag HaKotzir, Bikurei Ma'asecha, when you harvest the first fruits. It's the harvest of fruit. Grain is harvested after Pesach. Okay, the first harvest of grain takes place in Eretz Yisrael after Pesach. And in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, believe it or not, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed, al-pi halacha, even to harvest grain until after Pesach, because Chodosh, Yashan, until you bring the Omer. Okay, and now I'm assuming in Eretz Yisrael they don't do this. I don't know what the halacha, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed in Chutz Eretz, you don't have to. It's only midrabban Chodosh. Chodosh only midrabban, so therefore you can be making, you can harvest the grain before Pesach, if there's what to harvest. I don't know the whole cycles, how it works. I'm not a farmer, I don't know what goes on, but in Eretz Yisrael you're not allowed even to harvest, to cut the grain off the ground, until after Pesach, after the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach, because it says Reishis Tzivuaschem, the Omer is called the beginning of the harvest. Okay, but what about fruit? The fruit season, the harvest of the fruit begins. There's no halacha you can do before so, but typically that's the zman, and the pasuk calls it the chag, the festival of the harvest, Chag HaKotzir Bikurim Asecha. It is also called Yoim HaBikurim. It is a day when you bring Bikurim. The earliest time you can bring Bikurim is when? Is Shavuos. Bikurim is a procedure. It's a whole Masechta. We put in gold baskets. The wealthy would bring their first fruits in gold baskets, decorated. On the top of the gold baskets were birds. They decorated with white birds. They came with baskets and birds, and they would lavish ceremony, and they would play musical instruments, and there would be a procession. They would put it before the Mizbeach, they would recite the Arami, Oved Avi, and the Kohen would wave the fruits and give a blessing, and you present the fruits to the Kohen, and you take home your basket. A poor person puts it in a wicker basket, and he gives the Kohen not only the fruit, he gives the Kohen the basket as well. It's called the Chag HaBikurim, the festival of the first fruits. These are the three biblical terms for the Yom Tov: Chag Shavuos, Chag Kotzir, and Yoim HaBikurim. Notice, when it comes to Shavuos, we call it a festival. When it comes to the Kotzir, it's a festival. When it comes to Bikurim, we call it the day, the Yom HaBikurim. And
which
there's
day?
Shavuos. Shavuos
which
is
day?
Shavuos.
I know, but the number of the day.
The sixth day of Sivan. The sixth day of Sivan, day number six, is called Yoim HaBikurim. Okay, now there is a rabbinic term. The rabbinic term, we call it Atzeres. Okay, just the word Atzeres, no what we call Chag Atzeres. Okay, so we call either Atzeres or the festival of Atzeres. Atzeres literally means the ingathering. What does it mean, the ingathering? It means restraint. It means either we come together. We come together to go up to Yerushalayim, the Kanto of Yelisa, the Lokma Shayif Hashem Lokach. We come, Mekayim the midst of Re'ias Panim. We come to see Hashem, to visit Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, or we withhold, we hold back from doing melacha. Atzeres means restraint. Do not do labor on this day. So that's called Atzeres or Chag Atzeres. And the truth is, that's the Targum. The Targum's translation for the word Bikurim, the Targum says, V'yoyma de Bikuraya, Bikaruvechoin, Minchos Chadosh Chodom Hashem, Be'atzeres Seichoin. The Targum calls the festival Bikurim, it calls it the Atzeres. That's where it comes from. So the bottom line is, if someone asks you what's the name of this festival, what do they call it in English? They call it in English the Pentecost. What does it mean? What does that word mean, by the way?
50.
I think 5 books.
No, 50 days.
Pentagon means 5.
5,
right?
Yeah. So Pentecost is what?
Pentecost.
50? Day 50?
No.
Pentecost. 50 days from
Pentecost. Yeah,
five.
Maybe 5 books in Torah.
So, 5 books in Torah. It's the Kabbalah Torah.
The
Pentecost. Okay, we got to Google this. We got to ask Rabbeinu Google. He will tell us. He will tell us why it's called the Pentecost. What? Wikipedia. Yeah, so what does it say there? Pentecost. I always never really dwelled upon that. I always wondered. What does that mean? You see the article sitter, you know, all you grow up in the Pentecost.
50 days.
Okay, Pentecost. What is the shoresh of the word Pentecost? Pentagon? The 50th day after what? From the Last Supper. After his Seder. His Seder. Pentecost. But they have in all the art schools, so they have the word Pentecost.
There's
got to be a better translation for this word. The etymology.
They apparently do. The Christian festival celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples of Jesus after his ascension. That was on the seventh Sunday after Easter.
Put that on the table.
Jewish festival of Shavuot. It doesn't say 50th day after the weekly Sabbath during the feast on love of unleavened bread.
Okay. What's the shoresh? Where does the word come from? Pentecost.
Santa means five.
He didn't say it.
So who gets it first?
Five? A pentagon?
Pentagon.
But if that means five, what do you have five? Five times ten? Five? What does the word ten come into the picture? Where do the word, what is the word five times ten? What does that have to do with anything? I don't know, Rabbi Sakhar, have your attention, please. Rabbi Sakhar, hold the core for a few minutes. Let's go through some Yom Nivra. Rabbi Yisrael, just keep in mind, there are four different titles for this festival. Four different titles. Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaKotzir, Yom HaBikurim, and Atzeres is the rabbinic term which really comes from the Targum Yonis of Nuzil. Okay, next, Rabbi Yisrael, let's discuss the next minhag. Rabbi Yisrael, please. The minhag to stay up the entire night and learn Torah. Okay, there's a minhag Shavuos that we all know, little Shavuos, we stay up the entire night, learn Torah. Where does that come from? What's the reason for that minhag? So the simple understanding is because Klal Yisrael, there's a medrash that says that Klal Yisrael, they slept late. They woke up late the morning of Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the vekar. That's what I call the vekar. He was the waker. He went and knocked on the doors to wake up everyone to come to Har Sinai. And it was viewed as a very great sin to wake up late to receive the Torah. Moshe says that tomorrow is going to be Kabbalah Satorah. It's a day off from work. Everyone show up at Har Sinai and to be Mekabel the Torah. It came time, Jewish time. It came time. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? No show. No one was there. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He woke everyone up. They should come to Har Sinai. He had to drag them out of bed. In hindsight, we recognize how foolish we were to come late to Matan Torah. And we're embarrassed. And being that in Klal Yisrael time, we go through the year, we're going through time once again, we're making tikkun, We're making tikkun lel shavuos. What does it mean, the tikkun? Tikkun means an arrangement. It means, you know, you read all the mishnayos, the psukim. That's a thing we'll talk about a little bit later on. The tikkun, but tikkun also means to fix, to correct. We've done a terrible sin. Terrible, terrible sin. It's not the Tayag Mitzvahs. Doesn't say it anywhere. There's nowhere you're not going to be able to put your finger on any pasuk in the Torah and say what we did wrong. You can't. But coming late to Matan Torah is a terrible aver, a terrible sin. When everything about Klal Yisrael, Yisrael the Oraisa, the Kudsha Brichu Chati, it's the Briach HaTichon of Klal Yisrael. Yisrael the Oraisa, the Kudsha Brichu, the Briach HaTichon. You come late to your own wedding. Can you imagine the chassan? He comes late to the wedding, his own wedding. Okay, everyone, the guests are there. They're all sitting at the chuppah. Everyone's at the chuppah. They're all wedding, and the chassan walks in late.
There's a joke.
Come on, what?
There's a joke.
The joke? Yeah, come late to your wedding?
No, coming by Shmuel's. Hashem is ready to give the Torah, and the Yankees came early. They're not the best ones. The Litvaks came on time. They're the best ones. The Hasidim came to the Suda.
Okay, so...
I once learned to shot that they came late because they thought they should be Makabal Torah, like Yaakov.
I'm discussing that right now, like B'nevuah. Okay, yeah. So that, but in hindsight, whatever it is, we're discussing it right now, whatever it is, we have enormous guilt in recognizing the tradition, the legacy, this historical fact that we woke up late to be Makabal Torah. Therefore, we make tikkun. Tikkun means correction. Every year when we come to Vav Sivan, we stay up the entire night in order to mekabel the Torah. Now, before we go further, we're going to discuss what you mentioned a moment. Is there's something very interesting that's happening today? It became popular, and the question is it the correct thing to do? And that is, when I grew up, you stayed up or you didn't stay up. Okay, if you don't stay up, no, so you dive at 9 o'clock like a regular Yom Tov minion, whatever it is, fine, no one's going to say boo. If you do stay up, you want to be from those who stay up, so you stay up the whole night and you dive in Kivos Sikin. There was no such thing when I grew up as you stay up until 4 or 5 o'clock and then you go to sleep. And you come back, you go to sleep for 2 hours. Okay, well, more than 2 hours, whatever, you go for 3 hours, maybe whatever it is. By the time you go home, it's 5 o'clock, and you come back 9 o'clock for davening. Today it seems that it's not so unpopular, especially in Lakewood, what I've been told, and in some place here as well, is you stay up the whole night, you learn Torah, and then you can't daven like a mensch. It's just not possible. That's after right, staying up the whole night.
Like
it's 5 o'clock, 4:30. You're going to daven like a mensch. It's not going to happen. You're going to race through the davening. You're going to be tired. You're not going to concentrate. It's not going to be a davening. You're not going to say Akdomas properly. You're not going to Kriya Satara, Sarasad Dibros. It's just not going to be in the proper frame of mind. So therefore, there are many Rabbanim who are of the opinion that say that's not a way to daven. Especially davening Shavuos morning is a very holy thing. We say Akdomas. We are Aseres Adibros, the Haftorah from Yecheskel, Maisa Merkava. It's a Yom Tov davening, a whole Hallel. It's a very choshuva davening. It's a very beautiful davening. There's opportunity in the davening to accomplish great things in your spiritual life. And if you're going to stay up the whole night, you're not going to do it justice. Not necessarily. You can't. All right, it depends. You're right. It depends on the person. Everything depends. Rabbi Sai, can I please have your attention? Okay, Rabbi Sai, we'll have some decorum for a few minutes. It's not possible to do justice to the davening. So it became a new. This is a new thing, as far as I know. It became a new thing only in recent years, where people they stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, and they go home, they go to sleep. And they go to sleep for whatever it is, 2 or 3 hours. I can say it's not going to do you justice, but it's better than nothing. It's not so bad. I know myself, sometimes I'm up very, very late. And I know that if I get a couple hours, it's good. It's very refreshing, at least until the afternoon. And the afternoon, I'm dead. If I get a good night's sleep, okay, it's regular, whatever the day it is. The day is a regular day. If I stay up until 3 o'clock at night, and I have to get up at 6 o'clock, and I get 3 hours of sleep, it really makes a difference, at least that I'm functional until, not the whole day, but at least I'm able to pull it off until about 1, 2 o'clock. And then, boy, does it hit me, and I'm worse off. And then I really can't keep my head up. But it depends on the person. It all depends on the person. Every person is different. You talk to doctors and lawyers and people who have these crazy schedules. You're right. It depends on the person. But it seems that for some people who are very, very busy, this works for them. They stay up until 4 o'clock, and then they go to sleep, and they come back 9 o'clock, and they daven like a mensch. They have a geschmacka davening, and they have a very geschmacka learning. The question is this, are you defeating the purpose of staying up at night? The whole reason why we are staying up at night is to make tikkun, to make correction for a sin that we have done. The sin is that we woke up late for Kabbalah Satorah. When is the Kabbalah Satorah? When is the Kabbalah Satorah of the reenactment of Kabbalah Satorah on Shavuos? Is it the learning that's the reenactment of Kabbalah Satorah? Or is it Kriya Satorah? Shachris. After Shacharis, there's Kriya Satorah, and you lay in the Aseres Hadibros, and it's sandwiched with Akdamos and with Maisa Merkava. That is the reenactment of Kabbalah Satorah, not the learning at night. So what are you gaining? If you're going to stay up the whole night, and then you're going to go to sleep, and wake up late for the 9 o'clock minyan, you're doing the Avera all over again. Better go to sleep, get a good night's sleep, and come, instead of coming 9 o'clock, come 8 o'clock to davening. And learn before davening at 8 o'clock, come 7 o'clock, have an early, daven kivosikin. Go to sleep early, and the night of Shavuos, don't learn at all, and get up 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and have a kivosikin, daven early. So you're defeating the whole purpose.
It's a minute to stay up all night, but if you're going to sleep at 4 o'clock, it's not all night, it doesn't get light. Like
you don't get full credit.
You're right. So what exactly, that is the crux of the issue. What exactly is this minhag? What exactly is the makar the minhag? Traditionally, the way I grew up is, there was no such thing as half and half. It was you stay up the whole night, and then you finish off by davening kivosikin. That's the way we always did it. Now it became a new thing, is that you learn the whole night, and you go to sleep, and you come back 9 o'clock. You have to ask yourself, is this the purpose of the minig? The purpose of the minig is to make tikkun for waking up late at the time of Matan Torah. What is the reenactment of Matan Torah? It is Kriya Satorah. If you're going to daven 9 o'clock, so in fact, that's even later than you normally would daven. Some of these places, the whole year, they daven the whole Shah, every Yom, they daven 8 o'clock. But because they stay up the whole night, and Zman Kriya Shema is late, so we'll call Shachar, Shavuos morning, 9 o'clock. So you davening Shavuos morning later than you ordinarily would daven, and the whole lineage of the davening is to come to the Kabbalah Satorah. So you're really defeating the purpose of what the minhag is all about. Others will argue, no, you're not. You're not. That's not what it's all about. Staying up to learn Torah is much more important. That is the reenactment. The reenactment of Kabbalah Satorah is the learning of the Torah. Not, it's true, not the Kriya Satorah. It's true, the Kriya Satorah is the reenactment. But what do we take out of it? What we take out of it is the learning of the Torah. The chavivus of staying up the entire night, that is what's primary. That really reflects, that really captures the essence of what the mistake, that's the tikkun, to show the chavivus that we don't even go to sleep. We daven also. So we daven. And when we daven, do we have a reenactment? So that's a very big dilemma. This is a big dilemma among Rabbanim today. This is a new thing, Rabbi said. This is talking about, you know, contemporary modern issues. Okay, this is a very safe topic. You're not dealing with women. You're not dealing with food. You're not dealing with it's a very safe, contemporary issue of the modern world. You know, without getting involved in anything that's anything that has any consequence. This what exactly is the true nature of the chait, of the sin of waking up late? When we stay up at night, which element is the most important element? Is it the staying up, or is it the davening? Or is it both? L'may nafkamina, if you can't have both. If you can't have both, which one should you focus on? Should you better go to sleep and daven kivos sikin? Or should you better stay up the whole night and learn behasmoda rabba and then go to sleep and daven like a mensch? There's all the subject, daven like a mensch. Maybe you should say, you know, you have to do what's in front of you. What's in front of you is the learning. That you do right away. New the davening, you get to the morning off. I feel too tired. What can I do? I can't daven now yet. Yeah, well, maybe you have to plan ahead. Where do you draw the line? That's always the most complicated issue in life, is when you have to choose. How do you choose wisely? That's always what's very... And the truth is, you cannot generalize. Each person is different. Each person has different sensitivities. Some people, they're good learners. So learning is very... Some people, they're not the best learners. It's not their thing. So for them, the davening has more meaning, more value. What?
What is more important? Sitting
and
learning at night, Shavuos night, or listening to those lectures?
Whatever appeals to you more. Whatever you feel... So listening is learning. Why is it not learning? Why is it not learning? What are we doing over here? What are we doing over here?
But the lectures, you give a share of this.
Whatever, to each his own. To each his own. Learning is learning. Whatever appeals to you, whatever you feel, whatever appeals to you, gives you more meaning, whatever works for you, you can't generalize. Okay, so you mentioned Tikkun Leil Shavuos. So there's a minhag, I think the Shlo. I think the Shlo is the Mechaber, where he wrote, where he took the first Mishnah of every Masechta and the last Mishnah of every Masechta, the first piece of Gemara, the last piece of Gemara, Tanakh, you go through the first parak, the last parak. It's a sampling. It's a sampling of Kol HaTorah Kula. So if a person has the ability, now it could take a long time to recite it. Okay, to recite the entire Tikkun Leil Shavuos can take you a very long time. And also, not everyone knows what they're saying. If you never learned these Mishnayos, you never learned these Gemaras, so it's just words, doesn't mean anything to you. So if you never learned the Tanakh, so it doesn't mean anything to you. If you never learned the Zohars and all the other things that are in the Tikkun Leil Shavuos, so a person who is a 5-star Talmud Chacham and has an appreciation, it might be a very meaningful experience to sample Kol HaTorah Kula by reciting the Tikkun Leil Shavuos. For the average person who does not have an appreciation of Kol HaTorah Kula, it might just be words for him. He might feel it's much more meaningful to learn something which he will have inspiration from. He'll get something out of. So it all depends. Questions, if a 5-star Talmud Chacham for whom it would have meaning, is it considered on his level Bittul Torah if he would otherwise learn Bi'iyun? He would delve into a very deep, intricate sugya for 4 or 5 hours. Is it more important for him to do that? Or is it more proper to sample the whole Torah by reciting the Tikkun Leil Shavuos? Maybe you can do both. Some people did both. There are some Talmidei Chacham, they spend an hour, takes them about an hour to hour and a half to recite Tikkun Leil Shavuos. And the remaining time, there's plenty of time, they delve into learning. Obviously, to each his own. I don't see, among the people I hang out with, I don't see people saying Tikkun Leil Shavuos. I never saw it. Yeah? Say it? Okay, could be.
Europeans.
Okay. I just personally never saw it. It wasn't...
Because people are now more into learning.
They're more into learning. Okay, so it's different. Now, you mentioned something very important. Why Taka the Klai Yisrael good? Now, this is very important. I want to include this very important idea. Now, first of all, there's a very big problem. The whole Klai Yisrael, very mocked. Everyone's into this, to stay up the whole night. It's a big thing. Yet, nowhere is it brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Nowhere. There is no Mekar to stay up the entire night. You know where it comes from? A Zohar. It's a Zohar. The only place where it says to make tikkun is the Zohar. It just goes to show you how influenced we are by Kabbalah. Everyone, they don't even want to look at, they don't want to know from Kabbalah. He quotes the Ari, right? So he's quoting the Zohar. The Ari is the Zohar. So he's quoting the Zohar that Mishnah Berurah quotes. It's, the source is a Zohar. It's amazing. Klal Yisrael has latched on to Inyone Kabbalah. Mamish Kabbalah. We're not mystics. We're not into these things. Yet this is the tradition. Yeah, you know what it does say in Shulchan Aruch? No one does. It says that you're supposed to stay up the entire night of Pesach and learn about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The entire night. You're supposed to, that's a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. Do you know anyone that after the Seder is over, they stay up the entire night learning about Yitzias Mitzrayim?
That's the Masag Rabbi
Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer. Hegiya Zman. That is in Shulchan Aruch. And guess what? No one does it. What? So what? No one does it. No one does it. And yeah, when it comes to staying up Leil Shavuos, it doesn't say it anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. It says in something which is Kabbalah. You know, you do every Zohar. Does anyone here do it? We probably don't even do even a thousandth of what it says in the Zohar. And this all of a sudden we latch on to this Zohar. We stay up the whole night. My high, what's the pshat? So I think the pshat is very, this is very important. The answer to the question, let me just give you one more vart, which you just mentioned, and that is, why indeed did they go to sleep at night? Why did they? How could chutzpah klal, they go to sleep? What kind of nonsense is this? They wake up late? So the answer is, the Rav Tzadik says this, and many say this, is that how does the Navi receive prophecy? Moshe Rabbeinu is the exception. He was awake. He stood, he was awake, and he received prophecy. But the Rambam tells us all the prophets, they received prophecy as a dream. They went to sleep. They were unconscious. They went to sleep. And in a state of unconsciousness, they received prophecy from Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that Hashem is coming to the entire nation, is going to give them the Torah, they were under the impression that they're all going to be that night, that day, prophets, prophecy. And the way a prophet receives communication from the Ribbono Shel Olam is when he is in a state of unconsciousness. Therefore, they went to sleep. They bedafka went to sleep, expecting to receive the communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yilecha lo sisa, in a state of dreaming. They did it lechatchila. Moshe comes knocking on the door and says, no, you're making a big mistake here. This, you have good intent, but Kabbalah's HaTorah, you're going to be awake. You're going to be just like me. Your level of prophecy is not going to be when you're sleeping. You're going to be 100% awake, standing around the mountain when Hashem comes down and speaks to you. That's what Matan Torah is all about. Now this is very important. This is the fundamentals of Yadus. What is the difference between Gesundheit, between Yadus and Christianity and Islam? And I don't even know all the other religions in the encyclopedia of religion. I don't know, but there's one major fundamental difference. And this is the most elementary thing, is all other religions all began with one person was somehow able, beyond our understanding, to convince a community, trust me. Believe me when I tell you that last night God came to me and told me all of these things. Can you imagine walking on the subway? How many people are walking around telling you that God came to them? God came to them and told them what to do? Meshugana, get out of here. Get lost, Meshugana. Lock him up in a mental institution. Right? Yet, Christianity, it's exactly the way it is. Yashka said, God came to me and he told me this is the way it's going to be. Muhammad, a revelation. Go study the religions. Go search on Wikipedia. Klal Yisrael, no one came to us and said to us, trust me. Believe me, trust me. Just do what I tell you to do, trust me. Klal Yisrael, every single member, 600,000 men over 20, 3 million people, including women and children, stood awake around Har Sinai, witness with their own eyes and their own ears, the Chol Ha'am Royim Es HaKolos, Hashem directly give them the Torah. That's what it says. Therefore, our religion is not based upon, trust me. It was a direct revelation. And this was passed over from generation, from parents to children, v'chulu v'chulu, but it goes back, the source comes from every single person. This was a revelation. Therefore, it's not so hard for us to understand why we stay up the entire night to make tikkun for the chet of going to sleep. Because the revelation of the Torah to every single member of Klal Yisrael in a state of awareness, of being awake, is what separates our religion from all of the other religions. This is the fundamental. This is where we have become the Am HaNifchar. The Am HaNifchar is Hashem revealed Himself. All the religions, what, really? God came to you and He told you these things? Are you imagining something? What are you talking about? How were they so successful convincing people to believe them? It's amazing. This is what separates us. This is what is the sign of authenticity of our Yadus. And therefore, if we went to sleep and we were willing to pass up that opportunity, okay, put aside this idea. Oh, Moshe, you get the Torah for us and we'll trust you. We'll trust you. We'll believe you. Then we're no different than everyone else. The whole essence of Kabbalah, Satorah, Yadus is we are eyewitnesses. We are eyewitnesses. Our neshamos were there at Har Sinai. Therefore, even though it's not in Shulchan Aruch, even though it's not a Medrash, it's not a Rishonim, it's not any, it's a Zohar, so what? We don't even need a Zohar. Even if there was no Zohar, we can put the Zohar back on the top shelf and let it collect dust because we don't even know how to translate the words that it says in the Zohar. It's so fundamental. Not everything that you do in life, you need a book to tell you what to do. You don't need a book to tell you to wear clothing. If you don't wear clothing, it's natural. You're embarrassed to be naked in the street. You got to be a fool to walk around the street. I need a book to tell me. It says in the book, you're supposed to wear clothing. I don't need a book to tell me what to do. It's so simple, so fundamental. Yadus, the fundamental principle of Yadus is Hashem appear to every single person. We need to reenact that every single year by staying awake the entire night and accepting it in a state of awareness, to personally experience this, not to rely upon, I'll go to sleep, and you'll tomorrow, I'll read online, I'll read about what happened. I'll read what happened, I'll trust the media that they're not feeding me fake news. I need to see it myself. This is Yadus. It is fundamental. And therefore, it's not such a hard thing to relate to understand that we follow this minute. Okay, we'll take a 1 minute break, and then I'll tell you a vart, and then we can all go on our way.
Where is the lion?
I'm not sure. I think it might be in
Pick one. Hassan Said.
It's probably the little Christmas house.
Are you going to be giving shiur on Friday? Are you going to be giving?
Yeah. On Friday we have a regular shiur. There's no burning of the chametz. There's no going to mikvah and kaparis. We'll have